Appreciate the good special singing tonight. Well, if you're wondering if your pastor is slipping into part-timers because I just preached out of this passage, Mother's Day, the answer to that is maybe. But that has nothing to do with me preaching out of this passage. When I was studying this passage, some things came to my heart, my mind, and what I try to do as I study is I try to just write down things that God lays on my heart, you know, then I'll begin to compile them together and try to put some form of structure to it. And God just kind of led me in another direction, but there were some things that was really heavy on my heart. And so I went back to it, and so I just want to give you those things. I want to talk to you about praying parents. The importance of praying for your children. And it doesn't matter if your children are living at home. It doesn't matter if they're living on their own. It doesn't matter if your children have children. I just want to talk to you about praying for your children. I think we need to pray for our children. And I when I was reading this, it just broke my heart. This lady. You can read the desperation in this account of the scripture. She's a troubled woman. I tell you, as a parent, when your children are in need, it troubles your heart. Doesn't it, parents? Amen. It does. It's one of the heaviest burdens you'll ever bear in life. And so I just want to do this, okay? I don't even know that I'll preach. I want to teach you some things that I hope will help you. You say, well, I don't know that you could teach me anything. Well, okay, maybe I'll remind you of something. All right? On how to pray for your children and why to pray for your children. I want to try to answer some questions that I get asked all the time. All right? Pastor, my children have gone astray. Is it my fault? Is it my fault that my children have gone astray? Well, I don't know. Might be. Might not be. I don't know. I can't say. I don't know all that's involved in that. That's a very difficult question for me to answer. I think that's a very difficult question for anyone to answer outside of yourself. And what you have to do is be honest, but you also have to be fair. And understand that everybody has a free moral will. Okay? That's number one. Number two, Pastor, I get asked this question all the time. My child has shown very little interest in spiritual things since they have professed Christ, and I'm concerned. Does that mean my child is not saved? This is not going to help you a whole lot. I don't know. It might be. It might mean that your child has never truly been born again. But then it might not be also. You're their parent. You're there with them. You see what's going on far more than I do. And so I think you have to be honest about these questions. They're real concerns. They ought to be. And then there's parents who have children that have grown up in church and just as soon as they either move out on their own or they get to where they feel like, you know what, I'm going to make my own decisions now, I don't care what mom and dad says, and they just leave church, and they're almost like the prodigal, you know, they just leave and they just do what they want to do, and they don't listen to mom and dad, they kind of ditch everything that mom and dad taught them or that they learned as they were growing up, and you say, well, you know, what do you do about a situation like that? Well, you do what you can. I'm going to tell you what you can't do. You can't change them. All right? Now, I know you want to. Okay? I get that. We all want to. But listen, I can't change anyone, and you can't either. All right? Not even our children. Amen. But you can pray for them. And God can change them. You see? And so we don't need to really burn our energy on things that we cannot do. We need to spend our time and burn our energy on things that we can do. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. Make sure that we're spending our time doing the things that we can do instead of spinning our wheels doing the things we can't do. And so when I read this passage of Scripture, and, And I think a little bit about the prodigal in Luke 15 also, and I'll maybe allude to that a little bit. I don't know. We'll see how the time goes. Okay, so let's look at this situation. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Very familiar. And so as I look at this, I see a mother, and she is disturbed. She's troubled, and so she should be. Her daughter's in a bad situation. Here's another situation I get asked all the time. Okay? Now, Matthew doesn't say it, but Mark does. Mark says, this is a young daughter. This is a child. All right? Read Mark 7:25. Not now. Just write that down and read it later. This is a young girl. So yeah, what's a young girl being doing possessed with the devil? Can the devil possess a child? How does that happen? A child in the innocency of their childhood. Well, you got to know a little something about Baal worship, the Canaanites, devils. Devils follow family lines. I believe that. I tell you, there's just some families that are under some things that you need to get out from under. Some folks just need to break some things. Amen. That's right. Some things that you've listened to, some things that you have invested in, some things that you've brought into your home, you need to break that and quit excusing it. And I'm not being mean to you now. I'm trying to help you. And quit excusing it as, well, it's just okay. We've always done that. Well, it's always been wrong, too, and you need to get rid of it. Just trying to help you. All right, as a parent, just because you've always done it, that doesn't make it right. All right, you need to understand that. And just because it was accepted in a home that you grew up in doesn't make it right. And I'm not being mean here. I'm just saying we've got to come to terms with some of these things. And so here's a woman. And I want you to look at some of the things that she was confronted with. But you know what? It meant something to her to where she wouldn't stop. So let's just look at some of the things. Because here's what I'm afraid of. Okay, I'm afraid that what parents are doing is they'll pray a little bit, then they'll just give up and say, well, you know what? Maybe it's just not meant to be. They're going to do what they want to do. And then they spend the rest of their time nagging and just berating their children and thinking that's going to change them. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. You cannot change your child. So you can keep on doing that if you choose. You need to stop that, boy. You need to stop that sleeping around. You're going to end up getting that girl pregnant. Yeah, okay. He hasn't listened to that in 10 years. He's still not going to listen to it. I just want you to know. Not being mean here now. You need to quit looking at that stuff. That stuff's filthy. That stuff will pollute your mind. Hasn't stopped looking at it for the last 5 years. Still looking at it. What you need to do is stop that and start praying. And say, God, what you need to do is change that boy's heart. I'm trying to change his mind, but God, you can change his heart. It's a heart problem. You listening? It's a heart problem. And you can't change someone's heart. I can't change someone's heart. Now, here's a mother that I don't think when she came, she understood what she needed to do. And so when you read this, you've read this account. As a matter of fact, you read after some people, and they say, you know, this hard to swallow here. I mean, it's almost as if the Lord Jesus Christ is being rude to this woman. But he's not being rude at all. He's educating her. He's leading her to truth. He's leading her to a place where he can help her. And so I want you to see that. Look at it with me. Scripture says in verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, I believe, can't prove this, but I believe that Jesus went there for this woman. I believe he went there for the express purpose. He knew this woman. He knew her situation, and he wanted to help her. Can I tell you, and listen, this is the first thing you've got to remember. God loves you, amen. And God loves your children. Now, listen, you say, I already know that, preacher. God loves you, and God loves your children. Amen. And God wants what's best for you, and God wants what's best for your children. God's not trying to punish you. Right. God's not trying to come, you know, and just press down. God wants to help you. And so you have to approach it that way. You have to understand God wants to help you. If your child's in a mess, it's not God that put him there. It's the devil and sin, you see. And so you have to take these things in consideration. No, God wants to help you. God's our helper. Isn't that what the Bible says in Hebrews 13? He's our helper, brethren. He's our helper. Psalm 46, he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And so here the scripture says that he departed, he went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." As I said, Mark said it was a young daughter. And you think, well, you know, how can these things happen? Well, they do. That's why you need to be really careful what you bring in your home. Okay? What you expose yourself and your children to. This thing of devils is a complex situation, but it's very real now. I want you to know that. It's very real. And though the world may scoff and laugh at devils and demons and demonic activity, the Word of God makes it very clear it's real. And there are people that have attitudes and they have obsessions, and it's of the devil. All right? It's of the devil. And so it can happen to you. Don't think it can't happen to you. Well, I'm saved, and I can never be possessed of a devil. Well, you can be oppressed by one. You can be obsessed by one. All right? So be careful now. Now, here's a woman who had a situation. And immediately God wants us to know she has some things. She has some really difficult decisions to make as a mother. Look at verse number 22. Here's a barrier, I say. Here's something she's going to have to overcome. A woman of Canaan. All right? Now, Mark tells us that this woman was a Syrophoenician. She was a Greek. All right? And so here's a woman from Canaan, and I'm not going to go into it, but when you study about the Canaanites, they worship Baal. They worship Baal God. And so she had her religion. And so she said, you know, this is the way we do it. And this is the way we've always done it. Sometimes you have to set that stuff aside. See, some people, though they may not have Baal religion, they got Baptist religion. All right? Now, I'm a Baptist, all right? I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist, but I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. You know that. You know that. We're going to heaven because we're Christians. But some people get it mixed up. And they think, well, I'm a good person. And because I'm a good person and I do such and such, my goodness, and then I'm good, and because of my goodness, God needs to do something for me. Well, God doesn't owe us anything. And if you'll read this carefully, this is what God's trying to teach this woman. I don't owe you anything. Brethren, we have been spoiled. We've been just so long, we've lived in abundance where we think that God really owes us something. Some of us, like, we come to God and we say, now pay up, do your thing, God, make it happen. That's not the way this thing works. And so this woman has some decisions to make. Am I, as a Greek, as a Syrophoenician, as a Canaanite, a sworn enemy to this group of people, this Jewish carpenter that they are talking about that has all this power, am I going to him? Am I going to humble myself into his presence and say, help me? And she did. Now, that was quite something to overcome. And sometimes if you and I is going to get the help that we need, especially when it comes to praying for our children, we're going to have to overcome some things. And it might be pride. See, sometimes, folks, they're about as upset that their child is embarrassing their family as they are that their child's in sin. Did you get what I just said? Well, my son, we had four children, and my son, we load up to come to church, and all of us come to church, and my son's rebelling, and that embarrasses me, preacher. Well, listen, your son's rebelling against God, not you. Amen. See, you've got to understand this. That's between your son and God. God's going to deal with that now. Amen. And so this woman, she came, and the Bible says in verse number 22, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's vexed with the devil. Now, she tried to approach him on Jewish ground. The Bible makes it very clear that she was not a Jew. She was a Canaanite woman. She was a Greek. She was a Syrophoenician. Right? But she thought, well, maybe if I approach him on this ground. And Jesus said, no, you can't approach me on that ground. And he deals with it very sternly here. And so don't approach, when you're praying for your children, don't approach them on some religious, you know, well, I'm a good person and, you know, I paid my tithes or I attend church. You don't pray for your children that way. You don't pray for your children like, well, I've done something for you, God, now you do something for me. You don't pray anyway like that. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I don't think you're going to get your prayers answered praying that way. And so this woman is approaching him on those terms, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 23. But he answered her not a word. So the first thing is, she had a little religion she had to overcome. All right? And maybe you do too. Maybe I do too sometimes. We think that our religious works makes us fit for God to answer our prayer. Can I tell you, good works doesn't please God. Faith does. Faith is what gets God's attention, brethren. Amen. We have to understand that. We have to understand that God is interested in faith. All right? Number two, she had not only religion, but she had some racial barriers. Right? Yeah. She had some things to overcome. Number three, she had to overcome the silence of God. When you pray and God doesn't do what you ask Him to do, when you ask Him to do it, how do you respond? How do I respond? Especially when it comes to your children. You're pleading and you're praying and you're saying, God, I just want my child to get in church. I just want my child to get saved. Whatever the need is. Could you imagine what this woman felt like? She comes, she is broken, brethren. She is broken. When I read the scripture in private, I try to read it like it's written. This woman didn't come to Jesus in verse 22 and say, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. That's not the way she... I mean, she was just broken, desperate. She was at her wit's end. Her daughter was in a mess. Her life was in a mess. And she had heard of Jesus, and she came, and she's pleading with Him. You know what He did? Nothing. Nothing. Look what the Scripture says. He answered her not a word. How do you respond when that happens to you? How do I respond? Because this does happen to us. There's nobody in here that could not say, yes, I have prayed and I didn't feel like God answered me a word. I just feel like God didn't even hear me. Can I tell you, the ears of the Lord are open to the righteous? God hears your prayer. Amen. Now, listen, if you're regarding iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. But the ears of the Lord are open to the righteous. If you've got a clean channel to heaven and you're walking with God and you're right with the Lord, when you pray, God's listening. Amen. And so when you're praying for your child, though the devil may tell you God's not listening, he's a liar and the father of lies. God is listening. God's listening to your prayer. I heard a man say this, and I thought, that is probably the most adequate explanation of this verse that I've ever heard. But he answered her not a word. He said this. He said, don't mistake God's silence for indifference. Yeah. Just because God doesn't speak and you don't think God is listening, that doesn't mean that He doesn't care. Just because God doesn't do it the way you think He should do it, and He doesn't let you know, oh, I'm listening and I'm moving, that doesn't mean He doesn't care. God cares. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that's why we can cast our care upon Him, because He cares. Amen? That's why you can go to Him and say, my daughter's vexed. My son's out of your will. My children's gone astray. God says, I care. I care. So she had to overcome the silence of God. You know, if we pray about things as we ought to, sooner or later, we're going to have to overcome the silence of God. Amen. And it may be about a child. Maybe some of you have been praying for children. I know some of you have for years. And you're seeing very little, if any, difference. Maybe it's even gotten worse. That doesn't mean God doesn't care. You please listen to me tonight now. That doesn't mean God doesn't care. It doesn't mean God's not listening neither. It just means there's a little more educating and a little more proving that's taking place. And we'll see that as we move on down through this passage of Scripture. Look, if you would, in verse number 23. But he answered not a word. Now watch this. As if that wasn't enough. All right. And he answered not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now here's those church people. All right, I'm bringing this up to date. Here's those church people. They're almost mocking her situation. She's not one of us. She's an outsider. Right? I mean, isn't that what the disciples are saying? She's an outsider. So here's a woman that's traveled a little distance. She came on her own. I'd kind of like to know where Dad was. Maybe Dad was dead. I don't know. Maybe he was at work. But he should have been there if he's alive. He should have been there pleading for his daughter. Somebody say amen with me. Well, I tell you, when I get to thinking about the condition of our homes and our country and the men that say they're Christians and won't leave their families, I tell you, it just infuriates me. I hope it's with a righteous indignation, but it just makes me shake my head and say, what's going on here? Step up and be a leader. Be the man of your home.
Amen.
Those are your offspring, for God's sake. Amen. You're responsible for your children and your wife. God made you the priest of your home. Amen.
Amen.
Step up. Your wife shouldn't have to beg you to come to church.
Right.
Your children shouldn't have to say, Dad, read the Bible to us. That's your place. Amen. What's gotten into our men? We're letting the world sissify us. Weak. That's not the way God ordained this thing, men.
Amen.
We're the leaders. Amen. We're the priest.
Amen.
The burden's on us. I don't know, maybe this man was dead. Can I tell you? There's some homes where Dad is there and he's still absent. I've seen it over and over again. I grew up in a home like that. I'm not angry at it. You say, you sound a little bitter about that. I'm not bitter at all. I've moved on from it. I just made sure by the good grace of God I'm going to be there for my children and my wife. I'm not going to be an absent dad. I'm going to lead my family by the grace of God. God, give me grace and fortitude. I'm leading my family. Amen?
Amen.
Point the way, Lord. Show me the path. I want to follow your path. I've gotten off of it some. I've made many mistakes. So don't you misunderstand the message. I just want you to know something, though. I did not shy away, and I will not, by the grace of God, shy away from my God-given responsibility to lead my family.
Amen.
Not going to do it by the grace of God. And I pray to God you won't either. Lead your family. Lead your family. You say, we are leading our family. I praise God for you. You've got some good, strong men in Fellowship Baptist Church, but I want you to know something, too. Not every church is like Fellowship Baptist Church. Most churches are run by women. Some of the women are saying, what's wrong with that? Well, see me after the service and I'll tell you. There's plenty wrong with that. So here's this woman having to fill Dad's shoes. Maybe, I don't know. If it wasn't her, I can tell you right now, there's a lot of them having to do it. Please go to church with me, honey. Please take our family to church. Oh, come on. Be a leader. This question should never be asked in your home. Are we going to church tomorrow? It's Sunday. We're going to be in church.
Amen.
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 It's Wednesday. It's prayer meeting. Church time.
Right.
Amen. Amen. We're going to make it to all the revival meeting. It's revival meeting. Clear the calendar.
Amen.
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 It's leadership. It's responsibility. It's the way God expects it to be. Well, I just thought I'd get that in there. Then the disciples, they came and besought Jesus. They besought him, saying, send her away. You know, we church folks, we can be kind of hard sometimes. You say, well, you're kind of hard tonight, preacher. Amen. Oh, that's not hard. That's easy stuff. That's just saying, do your job, men. Amen. I hope you get that tomorrow. I know what it is to work a public job. I've been told, do your job. Yes, sir. Amen. That's what you paid me for, to do my job. And God has commissioned us to do ours. Let's do it. We church people, these disciples, could you imagine how discouraged this woman is? She junked her pride as a Canaanite. You listening? She junked her pride and came to a Jew. She went to him and said, "Have mercy on me." And he didn't even answer. But she did hear some murmuring over to the side where his followers were saying, "Get rid of her." I mean, that's not too good. Kind of sounds like the elder brother in the prodigal. He was angry and would not go in. Right? And if we're not careful, we can be incompassionate toward people that are going through pain. I don't want to be that way. I really don't. Now, I'm not saying I haven't been that way. But I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. And I don't think you want to be, but we have to be mindful and we have to be watchful, or we can become that way. Right? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this woman's overcoming a lot here for her daughter. She's keeps coming. Junked her pride. Came to Jesus. She said, "Help me." He didn't even answer. His followers said, "Get rid of her." Now, at this point, what would you have done? So you pray for your daughter. Or somebody, your daughter's or your son's in a bad situation, and you meet somebody at Walmart. And they say, "Hey, come on down to Fellowship Baptist Church." And you come down to Fellowship Baptist Church, and everybody's just looking at you like you don't belong. And then you're telling people, "My daughter's in a mess." And they're just saying, "Oh, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. We don't care." How would you feel? Would you stick around? Would you stick around? If this man who says that he has the power, you've heard he has the power to heal, if he didn't answer your word, and then his followers treated you like you were not there, actually, they didn't want you to be there. They said, "Send her away." Would you stick around? Would you still pray? You see what Jesus is doing to this woman? He's teaching her some good lessons. Everything's not going to go the way you want it to go. Everything's not going to happen the way you want it to happen, when you want it to happen. That's just not the way it works. There's some things we have to learn. But it's not about who God is only. It's about who we are. God's trying to teach this woman some things about herself. Yeah. Notice, if you would, down in verse number 24. After they said, "Send her away, for she crieth after us," but he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Yes. I mean, boy, it just keeps getting piled on here. Jesus said, "Listen, you're the wrong race of people." Oh, Jesus didn't say that. He said that my mission is for the sheep of the lost house of Israel. You're Canaanite. Right? Is that what's happening, brethren? Is that what's happening? But she got it. She got it. How do you know she got it? Don't you miss this now. She got it. Notice what she responds to this. In verse 24, when Jesus said, "I am not sent but to the lost house sheep of the house of Israel," then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." After all that's happened, she worships him. You know why? Because I'm not there. Sometimes, that's why I don't like text. It's hard to read a text. Right? It's hard to read it. You've heard that expression, "You'd have just had to been there." And that's the truth, by the way. There's body language that just tells things that verbal language doesn't tell. This woman got it. What did she leave out? Look back at what she said in verse number 22. She said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." And then if you look down at verse number 25, she said, "Lord, help me." She left out "thou son of David." She said, "I'm not coming to you on that ground anymore. I realize now." That's why Jesus set the record straight. He said, "I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She said, "Oh, okay. Okay. Then help me." I'm not coming on that ground. Amen. I'm coming because I believe you can do it. I need you to help me. Have mercy on me. I'm not saying I deserve it. I'm not saying I'm a Jew and I'm one of the children and that you should help me. I'm just saying I don't deserve it, but I sure do need some help. My daughter's in trouble. Now she's getting ready to get some help. She's getting desperate. She's getting to where God can work in her life now. You see, when we pray and we're cavalier about our prayer, now hear me now, which a lot of times we are. We're cavalier and we just say, now God do this and God do that and God make this happen and God make this happen and God do this. But when we get desperate and we start saying, oh Lord, help me. God, I need you to do something in my daughter's life. Now you've got heaven's attention. But when we're just kind of cavalier and just kind of like, you know, okay, God, you know, I need you to do this, almost like rubbing the magic lamp, you know. Hey, listen, that doesn't get heaven's attention. And I'm not saying that's the way you are praying. I'm just saying to be careful. Be careful. We don't need to go before God. I see these people, I used to see them. I don't even watch that garbage anymore. I used to sit around and kind of flip channels and come up on some of them, these faith healing type deals, and there'd be some, you know, folks on there, you know, we don't obey the Spirit around here. We command the Spirit. What kind of garbage is that? We tell God what needs to be done. We command God what to do. You got the shoe on backwards, friend. No wonder things are not happening in our churches and our homes today. We come humbly before the Lord. We bow before the God of heaven's presence, and we say, have mercy on me. I don't deserve anything. And that's what this woman is doing now. In verse number 25, she realized she came, in verse number 25, and she worshiped him saying, Lord, help me. God, help me. The Bible says in verse number 25, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. What a statement. Now, she knew what dogs were. She was a Gentile. They were referred to as dogs. But this word here just means really little puppy. It doesn't mean like a scavenger, a ravenous dog. It means a little puppy. She got it. She got it. Notice what the scripture says in verse number 27. She said, you're right, Lord. Truth. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Listen, if that doesn't do something in your heart, you missed it. You missed it. God, I don't deserve anything. I mean, I'm just here pleading for your mercy. I don't deserve you to do anything for me. But I know you can, and I pray that you will. You know, those crumbs are going to get swept up anyway. When they get swept up, can you just give me a little bit? That's what she's saying. Hey, man, I'm not asking you not to feed the children. You're right. The children need to be fed. You came for them. But can I get just a little bit of the overflow?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can I get just a little bit? Just a little bit will do. Right? That's what she's saying.
Amen.
See, when you pray, that's the way you need to pray. God, I don't deserve anything. I'm not here because I deserve anything. I'm here because I have faith that you can do anything. And I'm praying that you would help my daughter. God, my daughter's in trouble. And I want you to help her. Help. Have mercy. Have mercy. Give me something I don't deserve. Isn't that what mercy is?
Amen.
She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, look at this. Oh, woman. Amen. What an answer. Oh, woman, he said. He said, that is something. Right? He said, you got it. You got it. I pray some parent here will get it tonight. I do. I pray that somebody will get it. I need to humble myself before the God of heaven and realize I don't deserve anything. I may be part of the problem, as we shall see here in just a moment. And God arranged this meeting not just to heal my daughter. God arranged this meeting to do something in my heart. God done something in this woman's heart. Had this woman just come and said, Lord, have mercy on me, thou son of David, and heal my daughter. Be it unto thee. She'd have left this way she came. Now, her daughter would have been healed, but she'd have left the way she came. But because of how Jesus walked her through this situation, not only did her daughter get help this day, she got some help. And so this is how I'm going to close the message. I want to give you five things that I've written down. I hope you'll write them down. This woman overcame a lot of barriers. She overcame a lot of obstacles, and she just kept praying and kept praying. And it finished in verse 28 when Jesus answered, said, "Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She got her prayer answered. Amen. Her daughter was made whole. You know, I think I've said this when I preached this message out of this passage. There's only two people in all the Bible that I can tell that the Bible, that Jesus said had great faith. They were both Gentiles. The centurion, right? And this woman. I want to give you just an example. This is just a little example, okay? Of when Jesus says you have great faith, that's saying a lot. You listening? That's saying a lot. So Peter, is Peter one of the children? Peter's one of the children. Amen? Brethren, is Peter one of the children? He's one of the children. And so Peter gets out of the boat. And Peter walks on water. That's pretty powerful stuff. Amen? That's pretty powerful. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus told him that day. O thou of little faith. Read it. That's what he said. But he told this woman, he said, you have great faith. She didn't walk on water. She didn't. When Jesus said great faith, I mean, that's something now. That's something for him to make that statement. You have great faith. Do you have faith? You say, well, preacher, I have faith, but it's not great faith. Well, all you need is faith as a grain of mustard seed. Write these things down. Want to help you as you pray for your children, okay? Don't ever quit praying for your children. Say, preacher, my children are grown. They're out of the home. Keep praying for your children. Now, God is my witness, okay? I pray for my children every day. I pray for my children every day. I pray for their spouses. I pray for my grandchildren every day. I'm not a prayer warrior. I don't claim to be a prayer warrior. That's an area in my life I need to do more of. All right? It's just the way it is. But I take praying for my children very serious, and I hope you do. So I'm going to wait till they get up to about 10 years old. Now, you need to pray for them even now. If you have a child in your bosom, if you're with child, you need to begin to pray for your child. Amen. You can never start too soon, and you can never pray too long for your children. Write this down. Number one, when you think about praying for your children, pray this: Lord, change me. Change me. Right? Is that what happened to this woman? She got changed. See, God changed her. She had to overcome some things, and she overcame them. She had to overcome some barriers, some cultural barriers, some racial barriers, some religious barriers. She had to overcome some silence. She had to overcome some ways of church people, disciples, you know, acting in ways that she didn't agree with. She overcame all of that and just kept praying for her child. Don't you quit praying for your child just because somebody at church didn't speak to you. Amen. Don't you quit praying for your child because the preacher preached something you didn't like, or somebody didn't shake your hand at church, or things didn't go. Don't you quit praying for your children. You keep praying for your children no matter what. Just keep praying for them. Don't give up. And when you pray, God, change me. What is my role in this? Change me. Change the way I look at this. That's right. You say, preacher, could I be the problem that my children are the way they are? Could be. I don't know. You pray and ask God to change you. Amen. Lord, change me. God did a work in this woman's heart. And God wants to do a work in your heart. God may use your children's situation to do it in your heart what needs to be done in your heart. So you pray, God, change me. Then two, commit your child to the Lord. All right? God, I give my child to you. She's yours. He's yours. I can't change my child. I've trained them. I can't change them. But God, you can. I pray you change my child. Change their heart. I'm telling you, brethren, I'm watching it over and over and over again. Parents trying to change their children instead of asking God to change their hearts. The problem with the young people, and it's not just our young people. Young people, I'm not picking on you. I'm not. It's not just young people. It's the problem of our world. We have a heart problem. It's a heart problem. The problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. It is a heart problem. We need God to change some hearts. Your children are never going to do right until their heart is changed. Amen. Number three. Let sin run its course. This is a hard one. Let sin run its course. When that prodigal left home, the father ran down there and bought him a meal in the far country. If your Bible says that, throw it in a garbage can. It's not the Word of God. Now, this is tough, and I understand it. I understand it's tough. But the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Until it becomes hard for the transgressor, they might not quit transgressing. Amen? Read the story one more time of how the prodigal got to come back home. He got tired of his diet. He got tired of sleeping with the pigs and eating their menu. Amen. We got young people that are stripping their folks of their savings and hawking and putting their homes up, you know, for credit and giving it to their children to support their habits, thinking, I'm going to change them. No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm not saying anybody in here is that way, but don't you fall for that trap. It is a trap. Let sin run its course. Gets hard enough, they'll come back. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen? So number one, Lord, change me. Teach me through this process. Number two, commit your child to the Lord. You trust God to do what you can't do. Number three, it's a heart problem. Quit telling them. Quit that smoking and drinking and pouring around and looking to that filthy stuff. Listen, tell them, but if you think that you're just going to keep telling them and telling them and telling them and they finally going to get tired of it and say, okay, then I'll live right. Oh, you're sadly mistaken. Get on your knees before the God of heaven and say, God, change that boy's heart. I can't change his heart, but God, you can. Amen. Number four, let sin run its course. And then finally, when they do come back, don't throw it in their face. That father, when that prodigal came home, he was waiting and welcoming. You can love your children and not agree with them. Amen. You see, if we're not careful, we'll talk about this crowd, and you can stand to your feet. We'll talk about this sodomite crowd. Well, see, I tell you right now, those folks, they're intolerant and they're hateful. And they think you have to agree with everything they say and do, or you're hateful. Well, now, we might get that way if we're not careful. I'm just saying. See, I can disagree with you without being hateful with you, right? We don't have to be hateful to disagree. Just because I disagree with you, I don't have to be hateful to you. That's the same way with your children, right? You don't have to be hateful. If your children's grown and they're gone and they're out in the world and they get right with God and they want to come back home and mend some things with you, sit down with them. Sit down with them. The Bible teaches forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, there's a pattern. There's a process. I understand that, okay? But don't just keep throwing it up in their face. Listen, if you find that in Scripture now, I'll be standing up here after the service. You come show it to me. All right? The Bible teaches forgiveness. And when that son, that prodigal son, came home and he made his confession to the Father welcomed him. And he hugged him. And he loved on him the way that we should do our prodigal children. That's right. Let's bow our heads together.